CT podcast.
A podcast about science, technology, nature, education. I think that's about right.
Okay.
So we have no notes?
No. But it's Kelly and Patrick.
Oh, that's right. And I'm Patrick.
And I'm Kelly.
And together we are the hosts of the Island CT podcast.
Exactly. Okay, now we have it.
You always make good notes for me, so I'm like, okay.
Okay. So, orders of business. So today we are at Bear Island. And
Campsite 7.
Campsite 7. And we're doing a short podcast. And in the background, you'll hear some bangs and thunder.
Yeah, last year we did it out on the beach, mm-hmm. But this year, we just ran to the tent. We got, lightning, thunder. Anyway, it's, July 15th. Mm-hmm. I don't know what podcast number this is, but we'll figure it
podcast
out.
Podcast 40, I think.
You think so? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, basically, we could start with an overview of what Bear Island is.
Sure.
And some of the things that we've seen so far.
Yep. Sounds good.
So Bear Island is part of Hammock Park State. Hammocks Beach State Park.
Yep.
And it's in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it is, there's only 14 campsites, and the campsites are on Bear Island, and the only way you can get to it is by going by kayak or canoe, or either taking a ferry over.
Yep. And it's a barrier island.
Mm-hmm. Surrounded by marshes on one side and open ocean on the other.
Yep. It's across from Swansboro. Mm-hmm. And just north of Camp Lejeune. Mm-hmm. Actually, Bear Island is the very first island that's not part of Camp Lejeune as you go. Yeah. Well, I want to say north, but really it's east, because the coast here faces more east-west, looking
right
out of the ocean as we're looking south,
right,
mostly, kind of.
So it is a great place. It is rustic camping, in a sense. They do have a bathhouse, so you can go down and take
a
shower.
Showers, which is awesome.
And there's some flush toilets.
Yeah.
But other than that,
they're
camping in the dunes.
20 minutes away.
They're 20-minute walk away.
Let me see. No, actually, we were moseying when we timed it, mm-hmm. and it took us 19 minutes.
Yeah, first thing in the morning probably takes about 15.
Yeah.
So we're over a half mile from the bathhouse.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we have to walk to get to the bathroom that far each day.
So, you want to...
Some of the noticings that I've had so far, and I'll just... Usually when we come here, there's small groups.
Wait. Let me think. How are we going to do this? We have no articles to talk about.
We have no articles.
I have some readings I've done about the
Barrier
Island ecosystem.
Exactly.
But I'll only bring it up as it explains or has to do with stuff that we've seen. I think the best way to do this is, like, we each have stuff that we thought was really cool,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe one of us can go and then just talk as much as we want about one thing. And so you go ahead and pick one, and then...
Okay. Some of the things that I've noticed so far is that we've had a lot of erosion and a lot of changing in the dunes in a very short period of time. So I was actually here in May, and when I came to visit the campsite to tell you what it was like, I thought we had a flat campsite with no dune right in front.
Yeah, and that dune in front has grown just in the... So we're here 8 days?
Yeah.
Or I guess 8 nights.
Yeah, 8 nights.
Just in the time we've been here, it has definitely grown a fair bit.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been neat to have a tent stake or something sticking, mm-hmm. or maybe a mark on the tent marker to see how much it's grown. But
yeah, definitely. So. Yeah. So there's a lot of change that happens. The other thing is, we have planned it well, even though we didn't know it, having incredible low tides at wonderful times. So we've been having a low tide in the evening around, well, they started around 7 and now they're up to 11 o'clock now. But they have been incredible for life, and just seeing, we've seen rays
and the moon,
crabs.
Moon has been getting larger every evening.
Yeah, we started with a new moon.
What is it called when the moon gets brighter and brighter? Waxing. So it's a waxing moon. We're past the first quarter now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been for a couple of days. So that's been really amazing.
Right. It has been beautiful.
Yeah.
And no one has been using headlamps, which is also wonderful
yeah, really cool.
You can really see so much more at night just by the moonlight, because we have no light pollution. And so the moonlight and the stars are so much more intense than what you would have around your home.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, crabs. We've caught quite a number of crabs. We have what we know are blue crabs.
Yeah.
And another one that looks similar but smaller, but it doesn't have any blue on it.
Right.
Several of them with egg casings.
Mm-hmm.
I love catching blue crabs.
Yeah.
Or I love catching crabs.
Yeah.
Right.
We always return them. It's not like we're eating them or anything. And they aren't that large. They aren't eating size. But they're about...
And only one of them caught me.
Yeah.
They bled. So he really won that fight.
Yeah. The other thing to note about Bear Island is that there's bird sanctuaries on each end of the island.
Yeah.
And so in the center is the beach house, or the bathhouse, I should call it.
Yep.
And then on each end, you have these bird sanctuaries, and the birds know it's their area. And we had a number of very angry terns. I thought terns would be more timid, but they were just complaining and screaming.
Well, they weren't even in the in the sanctuary.
No, they weren't in the sanctuary because we didn't go in there. We were trying to.
They were out by the tent.
Yeah, nor was there any nests around them.
No, not
and
that I saw.
It was like this. It was this exposed sand area that is only visible when we have low tide. So it wasn't even an area that had land on it. And so, you know, they had some kind of turf going on there.
Oh, and we met when, so yesterday, that was today, going to the west end of the island. So that's really far. But yesterday at the east end, we met an ornithology intern. And she was telling us about work she was doing, and she showed this, they have these nets or cages, I'm not sure, over
nets.
They're nets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're over the nests of some of the birds.
Yeah.
And we were trying to figure out, so exactly, I mean, they're to protect them from coyotes and raccoons, right?
Right. And for some reason, the coyotes and raccoons won't go near these nets. But the birds are fine going in and out.
Yeah, I guess. And it's hard to understand.
I know.
We couldn't get close enough to see them because they're in the sanctuary.
Right.
So that was interesting. We saw a trumpet fish today. So I really like the west end of the island, the one that's furthest, because it's so far from where anybody else can go.
Yeah.
Although last year we saw a lot of kayakers.
Yeah, we did. That's why I was kind of surprised.
Yeah. We went over there. So how far is it? I think it's more than 2 miles.
Yeah,
but it's not three.
No, it's between 2.5 and 3 miles.
Yeah. Although when you get to the tent, I think that by the time, you know, then you follow the inlet, the coast to the inlet, and then look around for stuff in the bays there and stuff. I'm sure by the time you get to the end, you've gone quite a bit farther than 3 miles.
Mm-hmm. And
we saw an urchin.
We did, an incredible urchin.
That was cool. That was over there by the inlet also.
It was a white one.
It had pinkish in it.
Yeah.
We took it, and it had all these shells stuck to it. So, I mean, when I look down, the reason I picked it up is because there were all these shells of all different colors all in one spot, and they were higher than everything else. So
right.
It was like, that's a strange arrangement.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was this urchin.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That is neat. The other thing you found today that I thought was kind of cool is these, they're like shells, but they're tube shells, and they look like they're made by some kind of aquatic worm.
Yeah, they're all twisty.
And they're twisted, and it looks like some kind of plumber project.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of things to key out from pictures and stuff. There's the mud flats. Remember today, there were this huge expanse, and it's more like silty sand. Mm-hmm. And there were all these kind of tubes sticking up out of it. They were, maybe a centimeter to 2 centimeters
tall.
And it went on and on and on across the island. When you're in the middle of it looks like you're in some kind of a science fiction movie set.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a weird, Anyway, I dug down to the water at one of them. Let's see how far. I'd say about 20 centimeters, maybe. And I couldn't find anything. So, anyway.
What was the other thing? So, we've also been finding some cool shells.
Yep.
So, we found a lot of knob whelks.
I don't, you know the shells better than I do.
And we found a conch that was the orange kind, horse conch.
Horse conch, okay.
So that was pretty cool because it was like this bright orange that looks like someone, bought a plastic shell, but it's real.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
The pattern of the sand. And I don't mean like these little patterns you see, but the pattern on the scale horizontally, meters to hundreds of meters, these patterns. And then in height of maybe half a meter to 2 meters changes, these pits and little bays and branching bays and some places 4 sets of bars one after the other, some of them with water flowing between them like fast as it's escaping, and others where it's more pools, and it's just amazingly complicated.
It is. Like at the far side when we were walking from one sandbar to another, and we had to be very careful coming back because we were at an area where there were these huge pits that you could really drop down into.
Yeah. Well, I have to say this year, I mean, there's a lot of erosion we see, but it's last year I remember being shocked on how much erosion there was of the dune faces.
Yeah.
Where they just were cut into it, especially at the east end of the islands. You still see that.
Right.
But I remember last year just being amazed at how different it was from the previous year. One of the park rangers said, again, this year they lost a lot of land.
One area that we saw that I thought was just striking was this area where 2 sand dunes were once connected. And the sand in between had been removed or just washed away somehow.
Sand dunes or sandbars?
Sand dunes. And the foliage that was growing on top of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The roots in that had, like, just dropped down where once had been. So you could tell that this whole area was just missing from the dunes, and now you had two separate dunes instead of well-connected dunes.
Yeah. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The pattern of the vegetation on the edges of the dune is really different in different places.
Mm-hmm.
But
we have...
So maybe I should talk about, because that was one thing we talked about earlier, which is really interesting, the difference between sea oats,
yes,
which are those characteristic plants that you have to see them to... I couldn't describe them for a
tall,
podcast.
Tall, grass-like plants with big seeds at the end, so they look like oats.
Google it.
Yeah,
Google it. Images, sea oats. Anyway, so they're really important for the dunes, and American beach grass is also. And this is from that book. Mm-hmm. Ah, it's terrible. I don't have the title off the top of my head, or the authors. It's four authors, all into studying geology and especially interested in barrier islands. Anyway, so it looks like in the south, it's mostly in the south of North Carolina, it's mostly the sea oats that are the predominant form of grass on the dunes. And in the north, it's American beach grass.
Mm-hmm.
And the sea oats are supremely adapted to growing on the sand in these salty conditions close to the ocean. And they can grow so fast that as the sand accumulates, they can be totally buried and then still start sprout up again on top. Mm-hmm. The difference, and American beach grass is also very well adapted to this environment, but there's a big difference, according to the authors, in that the sea oats tend to not grow horizontally, while the American beach grass puts out rhizomes and spreads.
Neat.
And what it means is that in the south, in natural settings, you have sea oats mostly on top of dunes, and they grow in patches, which means that there's breaks between the dunes. And this allows storms to come in. And the way the storms work and how they affect that front row of dunes and the island in general is that between storms, the waves accumulate sand on the beach. And then that gets blown by winds both towards the island and back to the ocean, but you get a lot of the sand accumulating on the island and on those dunes. In storms, the sands on the beach is removed, but where it breaks through that front row of dunes, I can't remember the term, but a huge amount of water comes in from the storms, partially because of the elevated sea level, and it dumps tons of sand because of how much the water slows down there. And that is a huge part of what keeps the islands growing, is this sand washed in by the storms to the inner portion. So storms add sand to the inner portion of the island and take away sands from the beach.
Got it.
Sand on the beach gets recreated between storms by wave action. And with sea oats, because they grow in patches, you have breaks between the dunes.
Mm-hmm.
So when a storm comes in, it can bust through those weak spots and it dumps tons of sand. But in the north, where you have mostly American beach grass, then because it spreads laterally, if you have bunches in one spot, it quickly spreads over the rest of the dune.
Mm-hmm.
So you have it more continuously, which means they don't have as many breaks between the dunes.
Right.
And so storms tend to not break through. And so the islands get thinner faster in the north than they do in the south.
Hmm.
Because they don't get that added sand during the storms on the inside of the island.
Right.
What else do I have? That's about it. Except for the fact that, I didn't tell you this, they commented, I guess American beach grass is easier to transplant. So people in the south have tended to plant it where they wanted to help preserve the dunes.
Oh, wow.
And so you end up with some places having the American beech grass in the south instead of the sea oats, which is more common in this area. Anyway, definitely Bear Island is in the sea oats area.
Yeah, the sea oats are a hardy enough plant that they can support the swallows. And it can support several swallows of ducks.
Even though these are, they're already laden with these oats of the tips, and they're very
heavy
long
seeds.
Stalks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's an interesting dynamic with the vegetation. And, yeah, and so there's the other thing. These are barrier islands, and I knew from a while ago that they migrate landward because of, you know, you didn't first find out about a lot about these islands.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only today I've realized, wait, it's not like they migrate inward towards the land and then merge with the land and new ones form. It's like, no, they form once during a time of sea level rise after an ice age.
Mm-hmm.
And they migrate in, and if they do reach the land, that's it, no more barrier island.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yes, that was interesting.
Yeah. And it's happened in North Carolina by Fort Fisher near Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small area where there's no barrier island.
Oh, wow.
The mainland is right on the ocean. And it's, and but that area, that part of land, actually was a barrier island that migrated in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So, what else?
We were going to keep it a bit short. I mean, it's only 20 minutes, but we don't have science to talk about.
No, we don't. But we've had a great week at the beach.
It's been fantastic. Yeah.
And if you want a very isolated beach, Bear Island's your place. And it is just an...
I think one of the great things is the nature is so much less disturbed.
Yes.
Than other places, because there's no development. So if you want to find out about the nature and mm-hmm. you want to find out about the science of, you know, the geological aspects, that you want to read about it and then look around and see what's happening.
Yeah.
You're not going to have much luck going to a place with a hotel. And I mean, there's tons of sand dumped in various places to help.
Right.
Beaches, and that's, you know, those are not dunes.
No.
They're just sand piles. It's,
right.
Their dynamics are very different.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of what's happening here is...
And if you go to a place and you stay for several days, you start to see a certain pattern, like the brown pelicans. We see them go in one direction in the morning.
Yeah.
And then late afternoon, they go in the opposite direction that they fly over the island.
Yeah.
And they fly in this huge group of sometimes... you know, 15 or 16 to 20 birds, you know, different individuals in a line. And it's just, it's really something to see as they, you know, swoop out over waves or if they come back over the dunes in the afternoon.
Yeah. You know, I haven't heard any rain. Do you think it's...
No, I think it just finished.
And the thunder sounds like it's...
It's moving away.
It moved pretty far away, as like pretty much from, I don't know if... We barely had any in the podcast.
Yeah. So I think we did the right thing. We started a podcast.
Yeah. Maybe there's still enough light to go out and read some.
Yeah. So,
Well, call it now.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for listening to the Island CT podcast. Well, not live, but from
Bear Island. Don't forget to check out our blog.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.